Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we head to the arcade, the Apple Arcade. Also, we talk about the possibility of two new Switch models and the news of the Google Stadia. Plus, we take a look at the first PlayStation State of Play. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introduction.
I'm Jose.
Hey, I'm back. It's Joe.
And I'm Rob, and as always, we will jump into what we've been.
Well, Joey's back, so more Overwatch.
Finally time. Back. No. No, something replaced Overwatch. We'll get to it. You go first. It's all good.
Okay, so I'm going to start with, another fighter. Obviously, I'm always playing fighting games. It seems to be my thing. Not Street Fighter. Not Street Fighter. I haven't played Street Fighter in a while. We actually got Dead or Alive 6 for review. And I decided that I'm not releasing the review until one major bug is actually fixed. So, guess...
Probably a good call.
Yes, yes, okay. So, this is the major bug in the game. I don't even think it's a bug. I think this is something that they forgot. So, Tecmo Koei forgot to include online play with friends.
Yeah.
How's that a thing? How is that a thing in 2019?
Yes. And the other game I'm going to talk about also doesn't have online play with friends, and it's a fighting game as well. So... Yes, going back to Dead or Alive, major oversight. This is 2019, like you guys are saying. This game does not have friends invites. It doesn't have anything besides ranked matches. Very disappointed. in that feature alone, very disappointed. And that's why I'm not releasing my review. Now... until that actual bug is fixed there, because I really can't gauge online with the game.
Now, wait, is it a bug or is it just not implemented?
It's just not implemented. I call it a bug. Like, I don't know who in their right mind, which developer in their right mind would launch something like this.
So what happens when you, like, do you, like, try to click it? Or
no, no. It's not there.
It's just not there.
It just says ranked match. Like, this ranked match, and that's it.
And it's supposed to be there, I
suppose? It better have been. There's some explanation that needs to be done here.
Explained.
This thing needs to... Yeah, it's just very odd. Moving on from that, okay? Moving on. With Dead or Alive 6, again, it's very, I feel like there should be more to it. And by more to it is that I feel like Dead or Alive hasn't evolved past the Xbox 360 generation. Well, last gen. I'm sorry. I forgot that it was last gen. That's how long last gen was. It feels like it hasn't evolved. Like, Dead or Alive is a fighting game that could be an evolution of a typical fighter. And what I mean by that is, like, there's things in Dead or Alive in concept that if you were to, like, you know, put it on paper, it looks great. Like, oh, you could, like, slam people against a wall, you can like throw them, everything blows up, you know, like the fighting ground moves over to like another stage or you fall off. Like that stuff could be very evolutionary in a fighter if they were to put it into use. And Dead or Alive 6 is more of the same. Characters look better, graphics look better, and character and graphics, two different things there, because they're always changing just the style of the game, of the actual art. So, But yeah, everything looks better. They they freaking put in a freaking Sailor Moon character, it looks like. Like, with blue hair, her name is Nico. Like, it's just weird. Dead or Alive 6 is just a very weird game. I wish it was better in terms of evolution of fighters. Just because the concept is there. But I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it. It's more of the same, obviously. You get your few new characters here and there. I am enjoying it. Huge oversight with the online modes. Very huge oversight. And story mode is like... Okay, we thought Street Fighter V story mode was bad, or Marvel vs. Capcom story mode was bad. Dead or Alive goes straight to the point. Freaking, they're fighting over the stupidest things. Like, it's like they're at a bar. Like, two characters are at a bar, Bass and his daughter and another character, and the other character like steals his beer, and then they start to fight because he stole his beer. Like,
I mean, depending on who you ask, that's a fighting offense.
I mean, but it's so stupid.
The thing is, though, that doesn't sound like... It sounds more realistic than, like, I guess some of the other, like, story modes that delve into, like, demons and
you
stuff
guys have
like
to
that,
watch
like,
it. No.
Maybe we'll have to, like,
I have to. I have to show you guys a clip of this. And there's another one where Hitomi's ice cream falls, and she starts to fight because of the ice cream. Like, wait.
Again, maybe a fightable.
No, it's not. It's not. When these characters are, like, why? It's just, I think I'm expecting more out of it, but you're right. It's a better, it's something where you would fight over. You're right.
I mean, I'm saying I'd be pretty disappointed if someone dropped my beer or if I dropped my ice cream.
I mean, but it's a stupid, like, I don't know if they present it the wrong way. Like, it just comes off very childish and elementary.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
That, it's just hilarious. Like, this is how I imagine a fighting game would go with no story. Like, if the developers didn't make a story for it, that's how it would go. It would go like, these two people met up, the other person, like, shoved them, and the fight starts. And that's exactly what the developers did. They created that basic, very, very, very basic story just to go with it. And, you guys, I have to put up a video. Like, I really do. When this review goes up, so you can see the story that this game has. It's a work of art.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, but it's enjoyable in that sense. Well, let me stop talking about Dead or Alive 6. I'll come back to it more, and I'm gonna post when that review is done. I'll probably talk about it next week again. I'll get some more story insight for you guys on what these people are fighting for next week for sure. But another game I've been
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like another game I've been playing, and this one, another one that's been what do you call it? A missing feature or a glitch in the game. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. It's a...
That game is pretty
bare bones. Budget, yes.
It is supreme budget.
Yes, it is a budget title.
I think I could forgive Power Rangers for missing a few things that Dead or Alive 6 should have.
Yeah, I guess. But the game has cross-play, so you can't really... How does the game have cross-play and doesn't have playing with your friends? See the logic? Yeah. See? It just doesn't make sense.
It's pretty weird.
And only the Xbox One and the Switch versions are cross-play. I got the Switch version. By the way, Dead or Alive 6, I was playing it on PS4. But Power Rangers, I got the Switch version. And it was $20. So it's $20. It's very budgeted, obviously. It's definitely a work in progress. This game is definitely a work in progress. There's only 9 characters in the game at the moment. And believe it or not, the game is a 3v3 game, and there's only 9 characters. Yeah, it's very, very bare bones. The good thing about it, though, the base work, the groundwork, the mechanics are very, very good. So I could see this going a few ways. This could be, you know, this could be like a work in progress in the terms of we're going to get a lot more characters from all the series, or this could be a one and done deal where they just took our money and that's it, 9 characters. So I'm interested on where this could go, and I'm interested if they're gonna add that the matchmaking, the you know, playing with your friends, because again, it has cross play. So, but yeah, let me stop talking about the cross play. just because it does annoy me that they don't have that.
We couldn't tell.
But the gameplay is great. The gameplay is solid. Again, the budget is what's, for me, what's killing it even more. The budget is... So you know how Power Rangers, they have like the Megazords and they have those robots? I don't know if you guys ever seen Power Rangers or know about Power Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure like everybody in the world has seen Rangers, but go on.
Okay. Yes, they have the big Megazords. Well, you can actually use them in the game. So you can actually use them. But since the budget is so low, you only see like an arm throwing missiles down. Or you see like a leg doing a sweep.
So you don't see it like all at once.
No, you just don't see the Megazord. You only see like a limb like pop out. Or like you see like a sword from the Megazord like pop out. Yeah,
I saw some like video and it does seem like Jin from Marvel vs. Capcom 1, like whenever he call out I can't remember his next name, like Bloodia or whatever. Yeah, like you literally like see a hand coming across the screen and that's it.
Oh no, but it looks worse than Power Rangers.
Well, yeah, because like for Marvel vs. Capcom 1, it's like it was sprite based, so it's like okay, that makes sense. They're doing what they can, but in Power Rangers, it looks cheap because like they have that ability to, you know, model more, but they don't.
Yeah, and there was like a moment where I played arcade mode and I couldn't block at all. So, yeah, again, budget, I get it, it's the budget, it has great, it has a great base, though. It does have a great base, and I think that's, you know, besides Power Rangers, that's all I've been playing. Like, I'm thinking about it now, like, what else have I, oh, yes, I started Metal Gear Survive.
And how is it?
I actually like it.
Oh, that's what I've heard a lot of people say.
Yes,
actually,
I actually like it. It's a very mechanically rich game. That's the word. Yes, very mechanically rich game. Everything feels good in the game so far. I'm still at the beginning. Now, one thing I wish developers stopped doing is these long-ass tutorials. I almost quit the game because of it. Like, I literally almost stopped because those tutorials were... The tutorial for a majority of these new games are just so long. Like, I almost quit the game, and good thing I did it, because I really think it's going to be something special just in terms of gameplay. And I really didn't go past... Like, with Metal Gear, I didn't really... Metal Gear Solid 5, I really didn't go past the beginning. But this game, just because, again, you're like fighting zombies, and it's just very, very different. It's just a very different
yeah.
game than Metal Gear Solid 5. Metal Gear Solid 5, the story, I was not interested in at all after I found out, you know, what it was. And good thing I didn't follow through. So, yeah, Metal Gear Survive, I'll play it a bit more. Yeah, I'm going to play it a bit more. It's definitely cool. Good, yeah. Yeah, but now, yeah, besides that, that's it. I'm done. I haven't been playing much more. But I'm done. I'll be playing Metal Gear Survive and Dead or Alive 6, and you'll hear next week the fighting game story of Dead or Alive 6. I'll be sure to bring a transcript.
Oh, I'll be waiting for it.
I will await with bated breath.
It's gonna be a one-page transcript. So
I'm sure that's all. I'm sure like most fights are gonna be a sentence.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's funny.
All right, Jory, what have you been playing? And hopefully something more story-driven than that are my list.
Actually, now that you mention it, I've been playing Singularity. I actually don't remember when that came out. I think it was, 2005, maybe 6-ish?
Later than that. No, it came out around... Because I played it a few years ago on PC, so it couldn't have been 2005.
Well, I mean, it was by Raven, so...
Singularity is
before
the...
Raven.
Bioshock, right? Similar?
Bioshocky, sort of. Let's use the power of the internet real quick, and I can tell you when it came out.
Right now. 2010.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah, I was like,
well, there
it
is.
2009, 2010.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, I just looked at my backlog and was like, I need to play and actually finish something. I knew it was it's a linear game, you know? So it can't be that long. I just went on like Time to Beat and it was like 10 hours or something. I was like, all right, that's doable. I've started Bioshock like 7 times by now and haven't got past like 3 hours for whatever reason, even though I have like completed it on like PS3, I guess it would be. Because before the remaster or whatever. So anyway, playing through Singularity and it's a surprisingly solid game. It was fun. It's a little janky just from when it was made, you know. But, yeah, it's a solid game. If you're not familiar with it, it kind of centers around this stuff called E99. And that's like a kind of an alternate power source. And then it brings up these chimera-like creatures. It kind of resembles Resistance in that aspect. Yeah, and then you just get some time manipulation device and you can... It's kind of like soft puzzles is what I call them because they're not hard. You like have to move a block. You can kind of disintegrate it to make it smaller and then make it bigger to open areas you couldn't go before. So yeah, Singularity it's a pretty solid game. It's not overly challenging in any aspect. It's not like I had to go back and replay sections or anything. I think I only died like once or twice. It's extremely linear, but it's if you want to play through a story-based game, it's pretty fun. The ending is kind of a letdown because it's one of those ones where you have a couple options to do 3 different things, and they all play out extremely differently, but unfortunately, you can't reload right there and go back. I mean, it's kind of a cop-out in some games because then you can kind of see what they are, but like you literally have to play through the whole game. Or YouTube the other endings.
At least it gives it a little bit more weight.
Kind of sucks.
The endings
ASX,
were... What do you say?
More recent one, I forget. Not Mankind Divided, but the one before that. Human Revolution.
Human Revolution.
It had like 4
endings.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Human
Revolution, yeah. Exactly.
Save, and then load it in, like, because there's 4 buttons to press.
And reload.
So it kind of took away some of the the weight
exactly,
to that
yeah.
different ending. But, like, it's nice that you can actually go back
I
and
do
watch
agree, yeah. Like, I wish maybe in Singularity, like, say you chose the one that's yours, you know? But it'd be cool if they included it as, like, a bonus, like, just a FMV sequence. You just watch it, you know what I mean? I mean, of course you have YouTube, so you can just go do that.
That's what I would have done.
All of the endings were very different, and I don't know. They were just kind of all kind of dire. There's not like, happy ending. Everything's cool. You know, like it was pretty depressing every single ending, which I kind of just like trolled through some forums like on Steam and such. And like people were like, there's not a happy ending. But like, it's kind of cool that there wasn't, because I feel like there, especially now, there's always like some like, kind of big happy ending.
Black Mirror.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's an ending, and you're like, is this good? Like, it's not as bad as the other one, but it's still not, like, quote-unquote good. But it's a neat game. It's always on sale, so if you are interested in, you know, linear shooters with, you know, some kind of the time manipulation device, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's kind of a gimmick, but it's fun to use. But, yeah, buy it. I think it was, like, $4 or $5 on the Steam sale. It's, like, definitely worth it. All right, the other game, which is brand new, a couple months old, Apex Legends. I'm addicted. Get me help.
Well, I was actually playing it yesterday, actually. I played like 3 or 4 matches. And
I play like 15 to 20, but yeah, that too. I don't know what it is. I usually don't like Battle Royale games. I just think they're just not for me. I don't know what it is about this one. It just feels really good, even on a controller. It took a little bit getting used to because I've been playing PC so much. Just like the auto aim, it's pretty strong.
It's the mechanics. It's the mechanics.
It is.
It's just it's Titanfall. Titanfall again has one of the
Titanfall
best.
On a PC feels infinitely different than it does on a console. But anyway,
yes, yeah.
Besides that. It's a fun game. The battle pass I think is super boring, and I didn't buy it because it didn't look interesting at all. And that's kind of the consensus, like the skins were okay, I guess. They had one, I think it was for the Havoc, which is a energy weapon that nobody ever uses. But, if you get certain amount of kills, your skin kind of evolves, which was cool, but nobody really likes using it. So it's kind of worthless. I just think it was kind of a big miss on the Battle Pass idea, or maybe it's a fact that Fortnite's been around for quite a while. It's accrued how much cash, and they have, you know, the opportunity to do more interesting things with their Battle Passes. Other than that, it's fun. The ping system, it's already implemented in Fortnite, and it should go to like every multiplayer shooter here on out.
I agree.
You don't even, like, I've won quite a few matches and without a headset. Nobody was talking. We were just pinging. People were pinging, you know, enemies, loot. You can ping your own ammo if you need more. Your, you know, whatever you need, you can ping it. And it's, like, a super, super great idea because half the time, whoever's on the other end is playing music, yelling at somebody, or something's going on. And since it's not push-to-talk like on a PC, it's super, super annoying. So, yeah, I just love the ping system. It was a great idea. They just really need to beef up the next battle pass. Yeah, two shooters, very different.
So no more Overwatch, I see.
I haven't touched Overwatch. I'm going to have to play after this since we talked about it. You know, right? I haven't touched Overwatch for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. I haven't played Baptiste. Yes. Is he the most recent hero? I think haven't played him. I don't know. I think I finally kicked that habit and picked up a new one.
Well, we'll see.
Stop drinking, started smoking, you know. But all right, yeah, that's basically what I've been playing. I definitely want to kind of do like how I did Singularity and just kind of pick something from my Steam list just to, you know, finish something again, because it does feel good to actually finish a game. But I don't know what that'll be. Probably maybe something similar. There's so many. I actually did just pick up Resistance 1, 2, and 3 from eBay. So I might play those. You know, kind of similar type of idea. So, yeah.
Well, 3 is the best one. 2 has the best multiplayer, I feel.
2's multiplayer was insane.
Yes. 2 started this whole I feel like a lot of people don't give 2 a lot of recognition, but 2 pretty much started this whole, like, Destiny-style shooting.
It was so solid and seamless.
You know? Yeah, it was just weird how nobody gives 2 recognition as much, and it pretty much did the whole playing with your buddies and loot, like Borderlands style, complete Borderlands style.
Yeah, it really did. On that note, the other thing I also picked up was I started to pick up the Killzone franchising, and I had 3, but I needed to pick up 2, or vice versa. And I just kind of popped Killzone 2 in just to kind of mess around. That game looks really, really good for on, like, you know, the middle of the PS3's life cycle. Like, it's a solid game.
There was actually a video, like, a few weeks ago, a DF, Digital Foundry.
Oh, really?
Did a retro episode specifically on Killzone 2.
I'll have to check that out.
The tech it used. And how they basically said that 2 has a lot of tech that they had to pioneer because they kind of were, like, that pre-rendered video kind of threw things out of whack, so they felt like they had to hit that in terms of visual fidelity.
Neat.
And they said that, like, 2 looks technically kind of looks a lot better than 3. There's a lot of
I booted it up. I was like, this looks insane.
Yeah, 3 you know? 3 like, looks a bit more gamey.
Yeah.
And it's I think the color palette too. The color palette of 3 is more colorful.
Well, because in 2 it was very, very, very brown.
No, but it worked though. It worked.
I mean, it did, but it's if you haven't played again, it's very, very brown. Even like the what's supposed to be color is like brown.
It's like shit brown.
But I actually might play through the Resistance series and Killzone just because I don't know, just really into that shooter mood recently. Right, Rob, take it away.
I have been chipping away basically at Dark Souls 3. Like I started it back in December, and then I stopped because something came out around in December that I was playing. I forgot what. And then, like, January and February were filled with stuff, so, like, I played a little bit of it. And so I had finished Kingdom Hearts 3, and I was like, I don't know what else to do. I was like, oh, yeah, I bought the DLC for Dark Souls 3, which I hadn't. Because I hadn't finished Dark Souls 3. So I had played it originally, like, when it came out, like, in 2016. Got to a certain boss. Got stuck on it for hours and quit. And then when I reloaded, like, I didn't have that save anymore, so I was like, I'll start fresh. And I was able to kind of get into it a lot easier. Like, I didn't hit the same walls I did when I first played. The same thing kind of happened when I was replaying / finishing Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't hit the same walls. I don't know. I feel like at this point I'm a little bit overleveled, but
no, that's good though. That's perfectly fine because I feel with like the Souls games, like sometimes you do need a bit of time to like digest, I guess the game in terms of mechanics, because the Souls games are pretty much something from yesteryears in terms of repetitive actions, how to dodge them. It's a lot of like skill and memory beats. So yeah, the Souls game, I definitely understand with like, you know, that now that you're playing it, you're not hitting those same walls, because I'm the same way as well with the Souls game in that sense. Sometimes I need a bit of time to like digest everything.
Familiarize yourself.
You know how I get over those frustrations?
Throwing a control?
I don't play it.
Well, the thing is, like, and I have noticed this a lot more with my when I was playing it recently, like the last week, is in tense situations, like I've noticed that my adrenaline starts to kind of pump a little. Like I get kind of like tense. And it's usually like in like boss fights, or if I'm kind of in a bad position where it's like, you know, 2 or 3 guys are ganging up on me. But yeah, I've noticed that, because I don't like hard games for the sake of being hard. That's why I didn't really play the other Dark Souls games.
Makes sense, yeah.
I wasn't interested in Bloodborne at first. I think like, even, like, if you go back to, like, one of the podcasts right before I started playing Bloodborne, in the first time in 2015, like I had mentioned, like, you know, I was a little bit, cautious. I'm like, I don't know. But, like, there's something, I guess, inherently fun about the way that, I mean, sure, the combat is difficult, but it's not unfair. And I think that's the big difference. It's not like, you know, I mean, sure, there's some, like, kind of moments where the game just kind of fucks you over. I remember in one part, there's a prison, and you go up on the top of this, you basically go down this hallway, but on one side you can fall down to the floor below you, and then on the other side, there's, like, prison cells. And if you just normally walk through, there's actually a skeleton that'll jump out and, like, push you over. And when you fall to the bottom level, like, you get attacked by, like, another enemy. And that's basically kind of, I mean, it's kind of like a bullshit thing, but it's also kind of, like, showing you to be cautious about your surroundings. But again, it's not, none of it's unfair. All my deaths are kind of like, well, you know, I was being a little bit too aggressive, I need to pull back. Or, you know, I didn't prepare properly, or I got stuck in the corner. So it's all fair. It's just, and it's like really satisfying too. Like whenever you can like find out an enemy's pattern and kind of use it against them.
So it just kind of like forces you to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially like the first boss is specifically meant for you to learn how to properly dodge and stuff, just because of how his attacks go. And I find like, I did buy Dark Souls Remastered, and I could not play that game. Like, there's just something about like Dark Souls 1 and 2 that I can't play. But Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3 click a lot more for me. I think it's because they tend to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of
They're faster.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
They're faster, too, absolutely. Because, like, and that's kind of why, like, I'm for sure gonna play like all the From games from now on.
Well, you should definitely play Sekiro.
Because, like, Sekiro. Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of why I went into playing Dark Souls 3 is because I can't get Sekiro right now. Because I've been watching some YouTubers play it, and it definitely does seem like the type of game, combat wise, that I'm interested in. Because I've heard people say that it's less being like a turtle, like Dark Souls is, like, you have to kind of, like, block and stuff, and there's a lot more, you do better if you apply pressure to enemies, kind of like a fighting game, and I tend to prefer, you know, rush down fighters and stuff like that, so I feel like it'll work out, plus you have, like, the mobility, which the other games
don't yeah, have. Even I was kind of interested in it. It looked pretty neat.
Yeah, it looked really cool. I need to get that. Like, that's one of, like, the, as soon as I can, I'll probably pick that up. But yeah, right now in Dark Souls 3, I am literally at the spot where I was before the first time I played it. That boss that I had trouble with. I tried him, like, 2 or 3 times and just got massacred. So I'm like, I hope I can do it. I hope I can push through, because it's going to suck if I can't fight, beat that boss. And I just can't, I guess. I'm gonna try it this weekend to see if I can defeat him. He's a pain in the motherfucker. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, all that I've played, really, is Dark Souls 3. I haven't really been playing anything else. I don't really have anything new or exciting in terms of perspective on Dark Souls, but what it is. Anyway, let us jump into the topics at hand. Let's go into the Apple Arcade, which is Apple's new subscription service. They have 3 now? 4?
Yeah, it's like 4 now,
and
yeah.
It's basically, yeah, because they announced Apple Arcade and then Apple News Plus, and then they have Apple Music.
Hitting all their bases.
I feel like there's one more. But yeah, it's their new curated, I guess, service where they're going to have exclusive titles that they curate. It's all going to be like under a monthly subscription, which they haven't announced the price for
yet. Which is scary.
Yes, yeah. I already know what to expect, like $20 a month.
So I was thinking
$14.99. I think 20, depending on like what. Like, I think $20 would be fairly reasonable. I'm expecting like
$30 a month.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm expecting.
What is it like the Apple tax? So
that's why like $20 seems like reasonable to me. Only because like I guess you have to see what they offer. In terms of the games, because like I feel like if someone has a subscription to like a. Cause like, and the cool thing too about the subs is that you can actually play them offline, which was kind of like an Apple stab at Google Stadia.
Yeah, and that's the I think for me this is the most important takeaway with the announcement of Apple Arcade, that even Apple knows that you have to be able to play them offline.
Right.
So I'm for this. I am totally down for this.
I mean, it seemed like there were going to be legitimate companies behind these games too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm totally for this Apple Arcade. I am not for the price. And that's the wait and see for me. That's the game right now. What's the price going to be? Because this could be good for everyone, because this could set a standard. But, you know, Apple being Apple could raise a premium on this, and this could shift a lot of things in just the current gaming infrastructure.
I think my problem is, what, like digital buttons, right? Because it's not like they have a controller, or do they?
Yes, they do have a controller. Apple doesn't make it. There are third-party controllers, but they have to meet Apple's, not quality control, but their protocols, their wireless protocols. So there is controller support, but it kind of depends on the game. And since these are all mostly going to be mobile games, it's all going to be, you know, with that in mind.
I just can't do the on-screen controls. It just...
It really depends on the game, I think, because like some games are good for it. And then hell, I mean, there's like tons of videos of kids playing like Fortnite on a mobile device, and I'm just that's where I feel old.
I totally agree.
That's the one.
And I think that is the moment where I feel old. It's like, because it's like, you know, these kids, that's how they grew up with it. Like the mobile devices playing with the digital. Buttons and stuff.
Insane.
It's like, I can't. Hell, I can't even play with a mouse and keyboard, let alone a mobile thing. But I mean, I think it'll be fine. What I do think is it's going to affect mobile games that aren't part of the Apple Arcade. Because you'll have people signing up for the Apple Arcade who's like, going to have all these games available to them, and they're not really going to go looking
elsewhere. Kind of, yeah.
The Apple Game Store anymore. The App Store.
That's true.
New games.
That's true.
And especially if Apple Arcade does hit a wide variety of genres, like a lot of the popular, a lot of the popular App Store type of games, like card games, casino games, things like that, there's not going to be any need for those people to go to the App Store to download like a slot machine game or a solitaire game.
Yeah.
If it's available in the app, I mean, Apple Arcade, then good to go.
That's true. Maybe eventually, and like, a lot of that will get folded in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, good thing, too, is they did say there's no ads.
Which is awesome.
And there's no ad targeting. And I think they also specifically said that they don't track.
Yeah, this is going to be $30.
I could be misremembering that between the Apple news thing. I remember the Apple News Plus thing. They said that they don't track what you read. So, But it does seem like Apple's going hard on the privacy.
I mean, they've always been going hard on privacy. That's real good. That's the one good thing I like about Apple. They're just in terms of like privacy, like that they're actually secure and they do talk about it.
They've always been seem like more so into privacy than like a Google, you know.
Yeah, but
Well, like, I mean, I've been seeing like ads on Twitter that are about like Apple's privacy standards and stuff. I'm like, okay, I didn't know you had to make a video for it, but I guess it's getting the word out. So.
Just, I mean, it's kind of that like just reminding everybody, like, hey, you know, we're secure, we care about your data, you know.
I mean, but for games. I really don't care. Like, you know, like for games, it's not
what you're playing.
Yeah. It's like, I really don't care about anything. Like, you know, like in that sense, because again, I can understand for if the Apple Arcade, like, your login information of, you know, if it's not by the iCloud there or there's different login procedures, like how on some MMOs, there's like keys that you could buy to like lock your profile from being stolen. So, you know, if it's like that with, you know, with these Apple games where some of these are like MMO type games, you know, that's where that privacy thing would actually be in effect. Yeah, so I'm thinking $30 too. Just going over everything that I'm hearing now too.
Would you pay $30?
No. No. The one thing that could get me to pay $30 would be a Marvel vs. Capcom 4. That's a that's what could do
see,
it.
For me it wouldn't necessarily be the games that they have on offer. I feel like I'd something, be able to find something. My issue, I guess, with it is I don't need it.
I mean, on top of the other subscriptions.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, like, If I'm bored on my phone, I'll be usually surfing the internet, watching something on YouTube. I have a few games, but I very rarely play them on mobile. Now, if I was like constantly doing business trips where I was always like, you know,
traveling somewhere and
waiting in an airport or a lounge or something, then I could see myself signing up for it. But as of right now, I'm not really.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the point where like I have so many games to play on so many devices. I mean, there's just no time to play them all.
Yeah, and that's why I tend to like fighters. Now you see why the metric.
Kind of pick them up, play a couple matches, and
and I'm done. That's it.
I just pick up Apex Legends, play 6 matches. It's 3 hours later, and I'm done.
Oh no, that's an addiction, Joey. That's an addiction.
Oh, I know. You're not the first person that's told me that.
No, that's an addiction. Just like Overwatch. No. Going back to the
This is about Apple Arcade, not me.
Yes. Going back to the Apple Arcade there, they are promising that they are going to launch it in 150 countries. Is that what they said? Yeah. Because this is, if they're launching in 150 countries. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And again, this is going to be at a premium price.
if somebody could definitely launch it, it's them.
Yeah. It's definitely Apple to launch at it. Yeah. You know, in 150 countries.
Yeah.
And it's coming out later this year, so I guess it's wait and see for me because of these new games. You know. They do tout over 100 new and exclusive games. And again, I see Marvel vs. Capcom 4 there or a Capcom-specific fighter. I'm there. So, I'm there in fall 2019.
Crazy, I don't think it's going to happen, but if they had like a E3 press conference, you know?
Ooh.
That would be awesome.
Well, they have their, not during E3, well... Not at E3, but they'll usually have like
a keynote. Yeah,
that's true. Right around June.
I just figured since so many people are pulling out of E3, they just snuck in. You know,
I don't think Apple cared enough to like use it because like they pretty much can like command the presence of anything. Because like in fact, all this stuff happened during GDC.
And I know. Just, like, I mean, literally, they have such brand power. Like one tweet, and then it just like goes viral. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, what? Last week they released, like, a whole bunch of stuff before, just randomly. Like, they... Like, a new iPad model and AirPods 2, and it's just like, here's some random shit. Here you go.
Now, could you, right? And now, imagine that's exactly that. How it went down. Yeah, imagine that with games. Apple and games. That's... It's definitely a force to be reckoned with, and not a lot of people see it that way. So,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
I think Apple would probably be the best suited tech company to start doing game stuff. Just because they have the clout, they have the power, they have the money. But they don't seem to be interested in
yet, anyway.
Like, obviously, like, I mean, they have, like, the, you know, the arcade, but it's not exactly what I'm thinking of in terms of, like...
And they have all these relationships, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if, like you said, if they wanted to, they have everything that they would need to do that.
Yeah. And I guess we could actually roll this into the next topic here, because they, I guess, kind of there's the same coin, there's two different sides of the coin with Nintendo, technically.
See, I was gonna suggest we do the Stadia one.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's jump to Stadia.
Okay, so.
Let me just say before we begin. Honestly, what I was about to say is, like, the Stadia is bullshit. Just straight up.
Well.
I'm trying to be positive.
Going into the Stadia now. I agree.
Give our listeners a brief description, and then we can talk about it.
Well, that's the thing, is I was just going to just, like, drop, like, it's bullshit, and then we go into it. But I'm trying to be open-minded in terms of the Stadia. And but just like I have got that nagging feeling like this is not going to be good in any way. But yes, let's continue on to discuss what exactly this idea is before I give my passion.
Yeah, Joey, go ahead and describe the Stadia, because we're going to go. Yeah, this is going to go south when we explain.
So,
yep.
The Stadia is fake and doesn't work. Okay. Stadia, from my understanding, straight through Chrome, which Chrome crashes enough for me. I can't wait to see how this goes. You can stream games using Magic, aka, I guess, their web servers, and everything's unlike some of the other ones. There were a couple other ones where you had to have another device that kind of did all the calculations for everything to stream it. This is strictly through their servers, 100%, with no bearing on your system. So you could play it on, you know, your PC, your laptop, your phone, probably a toaster, maybe your microwave. Who knows? Your TV, that too.
Yeah, well, they have supports like the Chrome.
Basically, if it has Chrome, it can play it.
Chrome Stick?
Yeah.
No.
Chrome Stick? No.
Chromecast.
Chrome OS or something?
Chromecast.
Whatever, like, their plug-and-play. Chromecast, that's it. Yeah.
So, yeah. From the sounds of it, it should... Would they say, like, 4K HDR, 60 frames per second? What they touted? There's no way.
Oh, there's
like 0% chance that's going to happen.
And it begins. Yes, there's no way.
I mean, like, I guess if we looked at it from, say, without, like, you know, judging it, this would be absolutely amazing if this happened.
No, it would be insane. This is amazing.
Yeah.
No, this is a
if it works.
If it works. Yes. Correct. Yes.
Like, that's
there
what I'm
we
saying.
Go.
Like, assuming it hit 4K, 60 frames per second, HDR, everything, I would spend a lot of money for this. And we have no idea what the price is going to be or how it's going to be priced.
$30?
Everything is $30 now. No, but depending on how it's priced and if it actually works and there's no way there's not going to be input delay or some kind of lag. I used, gosh, I wish I remember what that one was. Probably in 2000.
On Life?
I don't know. It was just through, I don't remember which one it was. It was in like 2000.
It's on Life. 14. It has to be on Life. Or GameTap, yes.
Yeah. Okay, I think it was on Life. It was so laggy.
Well, on Life is the same makers of PlayStation Now. Sony bought that company.
That explains it. No, I'm just
I haven't tried PlayStation Now. It does explain it because like I started a PlayStation a new PlayStation Now subscription because again, I recently moved not too long ago, and I'm like, okay, now I have better internet here. So I went ahead and tried PlayStation Now again, and it still runs like shit. Like
I wanted to love that too.
No, there's some games that do work, but other games just truly just the slowest pieces of crap. Oh my god. Like, this thing.
This is supposed to be about the Stadia.
Yes. Well, this is about the Stadia, though. This is in a entirely, way. Yes. Yes, this is entirely about the Stadia, because at what point. What sort of internet connection do I need to have?
That's another big problem.
To play this at a reasonable rate. Because Google Fiber. Yeah, but
well, and then on top of that,
only Google Fiber, like, but Google what? Fiber. So the Stadia is only gonna be played by like three people who have Google Fiber?
Like, and that don't have bandwidth caps?
Yeah, like what's going on? Like that's my problem.
Well, I think that is gonna be like the 4K60 is gonna be like that higher end fiber. Or the business class internet, like the really, you know, top notch shit. I think most people are going to be getting, like, if they're lucky, an 8030.
I mean,
and like a 720p or something.
As a casual gamer, this sounds awesome. As a casual gamer, like in my head, a casual gamer would live for this. But you know, when this thing comes out and games run slow and laggy. This thing is going to get automatically dismissed. It really is. Again, PlayStation Now runs okay.
I don't think it'll get automatically dismissed. I mean, Google kept, Google Plus around for like 10 years? Like, two people use that thing.
Yeah.
They have money to keep things around even if they shouldn't.
And three people only have Google Fiber. What does that like?
That's very true.
Yeah, like, so.
Well, like. I mean, I think it's gonna. What's gonna happen is it's either gonna. Well, I guess the positive aspect about it is the fact that it runs on just about anything that you know run Chrome or anything that Google puts out, like the smart home thing. Google Hub. I think that is gonna be great, and it's gonna potentially introduce a lot of people into the Stadia. Ecosystem, whatever they plan to do. But I also feel like over time it's going to be one of those things, like if it doesn't catch on with people, it's going to be one of those things that's like a vestigial program that's just on like Chromecast, that's just in Chrome, that's on these devices that people aren't going to use it, it's just going to be there. So I think that's kind of like the downside to that. But the fact that it's available on everything, you don't need a dedicated device.
Yeah.
You can use, like, Google has their Stadia controllers, but you can use any, just about any controller, and it'll work. I think those are positive aspects about it. And I agree, like, the internet is going to be a huge...
Well, that's the elephant in the room. That's definitely,
I don't think it's really the elephant in the room. I think people know about it. I think it's the elephant in the room full of elephants. Like, we all know it's there. I think most people who are just not... who are ignoring the lag aspect of it, the speed aspect of it, aren't really gamers and just like, oh, Stadia looks cool. But I think most people who are just even slightly technologically inclined are like, how is this going to work? Like, I think everyone's skeptical enough. But I also think Google has it within their power to come close to very, very little lag, finding a way to do it properly.
Here's the thing with that. Like, again, that big-ass elephant in the room, the internet, are the current service providers in the States right now. They totally don't lend a hand into streaming games. I'm not a believer because of the service providers. And that's why I'm always with how Sony puts PlayStation Now in the background. Just because we're not ready for the streaming of games. It's coming, but it's not now. It's definitely not now. And there's a lot of people who are actually impressed of what Microsoft is saying with xCloud. And I really don't get the logic of that, because this is the same thing as a Stadia, where this is all going to be reliable on your internet connection. And these service providers that we have now definitely don't lend themselves to it. And that's why this digital streaming future, it's at this moment, it's pointless to throw it out there like Google has thrown it out there, and how Microsoft is throwing out about Azure servers, because at the end of the day, it's the internet connection that actually makes these things work. It's not their servers. At the end of the day, it's our service providers. Unless Microsoft or Google, they want to buy me gigabyte internet, that's entirely up to them. For those three people who do have Google Fiber. So, yeah, for me, the Stadia, on paper, in my head, it could work. It's just, there's so many different factors that all play a big role into this thing running, and I just don't see it happening. I just can't.
I mean, I think they might be just trying to get a jump on what they think the future is going to be, you know? Like, I could totally see this coming out in, like, a work-in-progress type thing, like a early access, if you will, you know? Because, I mean, the industry is trending this way eventually, if, you know, internet in, you know, big markets like the U.S. ever, you know, get half-decent everywhere. I mean, I've lived in places where my literal upload or download was like 10 megabits per second or less. I mean, it took time. Like, I'd literally download a demo on PS4 and then come back the next day and then it just finished. You know, like, it's that slow.
Oh, that's tragic. That hurts my heart.
Yeah, it was tough. Like, I literally couldn't play online games. Like, it was insane. And I mean, that's just in Pennsylvania. It's not like I'm in, I don't know, you know, some super backwoodsy place. Like, and I mean, not even just straight speed, just stability, you know? I mean,
like. So, like, you know, I've mentioned this before, is the U.S. doesn't have the I literally infrastructure? Thought of this word in my brain. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure, thank you. For, like, high-speed broadband in equal coverage compared to
It doesn't.
The infrastructure in the U.S. Broadband is terrible.
I think this more has to do with the service providers. This is going to be.
I'm not saying it's not service providers, because the fact that, like, you pretty much
exactly. That's
there's no room for competition, so there's no room for innovation. Exactly. They can't, you know, make better internet, or not make better internet, but you know what I mean, like, improve their stuff, get more people to use their stuff, and then, like, have it go across, because there's, like, a stalemate, and that is pretty much going to keep streaming to only, like, the big cities. And so, like, obviously, people who, like, you know, live in the middle, I don't say necessarily in the middle of nowhere, but, like, who aren't in an area that have good internet, or, you know, can get, or they have good enough internet, but not good enough for streaming. And I think that's gonna, it's not gonna work that well. And this sounds terrible, but like if Google were to actually like put more effort into fiber, and get it out more, I think that would have been better in the long run. Because like, I mean, obviously the cable companies, internet companies, ISPs are scared of Google with like their bullshit tactics. But that's like really the only way to get a higher penetration of broadband internet to people, and then from there, streaming can take off. But we have to get to that
step. Feels bad.
Because if we don't get to that step, then streaming is pretty much going to be pointless unless you live in a big city. Or
I was supposed to get Google Fiber, and then it was one of those ones where it got went right when it got axed. Oh, it sucks. I was so excited.
San Antonio's still supposed to be getting it. I know they've slowed down or
stopped. Yeah. So I guess Stadia, final conclusion. Awesome idea. Doubtful execution.
I will say one more thing that we haven't covered that I'm not looking forward to with the Stadia, and I know it's going to fucking happen. And that is, they're probably going to reward developers or pay off developers of games more money if people play their games longer.
That's...
Which basically means we're going to get back into MMO hyper grind quests. And we're going to get malicious practices where, you know, you have to play a game for so long and then you get some more stuff. I kind of like loot boxes, but not necessarily. They're going to reward players, users, that ability to, like, if they play longer, then they'll get some stuff. And I feel like that is not going to be a good thing for the industry, because we're going to get lots of people doing that.
Oh, wait, that's going to be bad for indie.
Or, you know, for these games... Too. Wait, what about
indie developers? It's going to affect indie developers a lot. Think about it. Just because, like, I mean, you know, like a EA or Activision, they could make these games that they could advertise these games that people play a lot, and they can make the content for those games, so to speak, if they were to go that route on rewarding developers for a longer, you know, for gamers playing it for a longer time. Now think about an indie developer who launches a game. Now this indie developer gets paid for how long people play his game. Now indie developers are gonna, you know, ones who were making a game are now gonna go crazy trying to find other ways to get people to play longer now. So I mean,
that is the assumption if that's how the monetary aspect is gonna work though, you know. Because we don't
know.
That's
true.
I mean, honestly.
We don't know how it's going to work, but...
I mean, it's a scary future.
But that's also kind of look...
Possibly.
Yeah, but, like, the way you're looking at it is if it was... The Stadia was in a vacuum and there was, like, no other venue or avenues for indie developers. But they've got plenty of other avenues. And I am more worried about if, like, the major publishers do that kind of thing. Because if they do it for the Stadia games or the Stadia-developed games... They're going to use those tactics for the other games. Just like with the mobile games, kind of had a lot of, I don't want to say predatory practices.
Aggressive.
A lot of ways to get, hyper-aggressive ways to get people playing longer and, you know, stuff like that Dungeon Keeper game where, like, you'd have, like, a whole bunch of timers counting down and you had, like, cooldowns and stuff like that before you could play more. I mean, it's going to be kind of the opposite to get people to play longer. And those aspects of it are going to find themselves showing up in, like, quote-unquote regular video games and, like, console games, PC games and stuff like that. They're going to take those and put them in there to get people hooked on those games. And, like, that's kind of, like, one worrying aspect I have about the Stadia. Like, I'm trying to essentially keep my mind open about it because it's, like, streaming is the way to go, and I think that's where a lot of people are going. Because you'll have that instant gratification, instant access. I mean, obviously, stuff like Netflix and Hulu, people like having instant access to content. But, like, there's just a lot of, like, I don't know about this, kind of coming up with it. So I'm kind of more worried about it. That's the way I see it. But I'm, like I said, I'm trying to keep an open mind. I'm trying not to be doom and gloom and naysaying, whatever. I feel like a lot of people are doing that already. Just I've seen, like, lots of people talking on the internet. Like, oh, it's stupid. It's like,
yeah. I mean,
kind of is, but anyway. That's my final conclusion. And it may as well go back into the Switch.
Forgot about the Switch.
The original, yeah.
The original. Well, yeah, the Switch is getting 2 new models? Yes. You see, like, I'm even forgetting now. This Stadia already got me confused and annoyed and... there's so much with the Stadia. Now, yeah. Yeah, so the Switch is getting 2 new models are rumored for the Nintendo Switch, and this is coming from the Wall Street Journal here, and those 2 new models are looking to be 2 completely different takes on what we originally have. They're just not going to be aesthetic changes. They're going to actually be like real changes that affect different sorts of gamers, I guess. If that's how they want to put it here. So the rumor has one of those versions being an enhanced version of the Switch, which I would say a Switch Pro in that sense. Having a better hardware there, just a bit more oomph in power, in terms of, the regular Switch. So I'm assuming this one is probably going to be the console there that has more horsepower, with the CPU and, just better rendering at, resolution. Because the current Switch, resolution on some games, it does look very blurry. So I'm guessing, this is going to be the one for those people who actually take notice of that, like myself. So one version is going to be the Pro version. The other version is actually going to be a cheaper version, and it's going to be handheld only. So I like the idea of this.
I honestly couldn't care either way.
Like,
I mean,
yeah, well, because like the cheaper option, I'm never gonna be interested in.
Exactly.
Like, it'll be good as an idea for a gift or something, but like for me personally, it's like whatever. Kind of like how I was with the original 3DS. I'm like, I understand what they're going for. Not my cup of tea. Not what I want.
I mean, I felt that same way about the 2DS right? 2DS? Is that what it is? Yeah,
the 2DS.
Well, I'm actually in the other models for aesthetics too, because, well, the aesthetics on the cheaper version. I wonder if the cheaper version is going to be smaller.
How much smaller do you want this thing?
It'll probably be like maybe 75%, 80% the size of the current Switch, but I don't think it'll be that much. I think it'll just be kind of more of an all-in-one device where you can't remove the Joy-Cons. Rather than like a complete, like, you know, half.
Oh, so the true predecessor to the Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Not wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, they kind of, I mean, the 3DS is pretty much dead, so it makes sense to kind of Nintendo
kinda refresh
shift,
it.
Not shift focus, but, like, I guess put a little bit more on people who, you know, for I guess for younger kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, like it makes total sense with they do have Pokemon coming out, so I like the idea because of that, because it's more options for gamers. It's more options for us. Now I love the idea, and I'm curious on the price. I'm very, very curious on just the cheaper model's price. The Pro version, you know, we already know what to expect there. It's probably going to be $100 more, if anything. But I'm curious on the pricing of these things, and it's a good idea for options. That's yeah. my whole like takeaway on it. And I hope it's true too. Like I hope it really does come out. I'm hoping more for the actual handheld version itself.
Well, I think what they said is, at least what I remember reading from the Wall Street Journal article was that they're going to discontinue the current Switch, and then the Pro is going to basically take over. Well, I guess like that Game Boy Advance.
Oh,
Game Boy
time Advance. To sell mine, son.
Yeah, I know, yep. right?
Here we go.
Yeah. But I guess it kind of depends on how much more power. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be like a massive upgrade.
I mean, it can't, right?
But no. And it already doesn't have the best battery life, so I don't know where you go with it.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of seeing how much more power, if it's going to offer benefits over getting rid of the Switch. Because if it's a fairly negligible yeah. upgrade, then may as well just mm-hmm. keep the regular Switch. Unless it has, I don't know what they could, unless it has like a considerable jump in power, I don't personally think I'll
maybe
get
bigger battery power, to support
whatever they call it,
the upgrades, and it'll keep the same battery life, but just have the upgrades.
But I mean, then the system would have to get bigger, right?
I mean,
yeah, it would be yeah. like a little bit thicker. Well, I don't know if they can get it too thick, because like, I would assume,
or a smaller chip, or a design in the chip that, you know, goes down in nanometers. So
yeah,
that's true.
Maybe, but I don't know.
Again, yeah,
that'd be an interesting one to see unfold.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting at E3 to see if it, you know, if they do announce something like that. So that's gonna mm-hmm. be interesting.
Yeah, I think this E3 for Nintendo is gonna be pretty crazy and
big yeah, one for them. For sure.
Especially if the Switch models are coming through.
And I guess we move on to Sony then. Sony it is, yes. And Sony taking a playbook from Nintendo with their State of Play, yes.
Like usual.
Well, not.
I mean,
yeah. It's a good thing that they are doing these Nintendo-esque moves with their announcement and reveal of State of Play. And what State of Play is, it's Nintendo's version. Oh, you see, it just slipped. it's
slipped, quote unquote.
Yes, it's Sony's version of Nintendo Directs. So, Sony, for this State of Play, for their very first State of Play, they decided to focus on VR. And, it actually was a very good presentation in terms of, games that they showed. I thought, not a lot of people, you know, on the interwebs, thought that, it was good because there was not enough, I guess, not enough regular content. And a lot of people were saying it wasn't hype enough, but people have to keep in mind, Sony now has VR on the roll and they haven't gave up on it just yet. And also, VR looks like it's going to play a very, very big role, I think, in next gen. So,
it's going to play a role. I guess we could say that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be big.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if it'll play a big role. But yeah, there's still more to see.
Yeah,
I
for
guess.
Sure.
Well,
I guess literally.
Well, just in a way that they're, you know, that their first State of Play was actually a VR yeah. showing. A lot of people took to offense and said, "Oh, well, this." Well, a lot of people on the web. Well, not me, not myself. But one, a lot of people did not know about it much because Sony was not hyping it so much. And I guess that's one thing that didn't work in that sense. But I could see this becoming good. Like you mentioned, Rob, like, this is a good thing, what they're doing, just in terms of how they communicate and how they announce news. So this is definitely a good thing. So their VR showcase, they showed off Iron Man VR, which is very surprising because Sony has Spider-Man and now they're working on another game with Marvel, which is Iron Man VR. Did you guys see the clip?
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously it was pre-rendered. Obviously it was all, you know, it was a video. But, mm-hmm. you know, you got like a glimpse of the gameplay on how it would be. And it's been in works for 2 years now with Camouflage Studios and Sony Worldwide Studios together co-developing this. And I'm interested in it. Well, obviously, it's Marvel characters. That's why I'm interested. But I'm interested to see what they could actually do because Iron Man blends itself so well with the VR.
He does. Like, I feel like that is like the one of the better characters, I guess, to focus a VR game on. By the same token, though, my interest in it is like nothing. That's not something that I'm really interested in. Like, don't get me wrong. If they announce like a Iron Man branded PlayStation VR, I would 100% get it, without a doubt. Even if it comes bundled with the game, without, like, and I would probably play for a little bit, but that's not. I have no real interest in the Iron Man VR. They've got other interesting. There are other things I'm more interested in terms of VR that they actually announced at the show too. Like,
super interested in that one.
Kind of interested in the Five Nights at Freddy VR, even though it feels like Five Nights at Freddy's at this point is.
But in VR, though.
I think like, we're just getting old on that one, too.
Yeah, we're just getting old, yeah.
Because my cousin...
No, because I don't feel like there's not as many people interested in Five Nights at Freddy's anymore. Like, I feel like the people who were either grew up...
Well, the thing about Fortnite. Growing up, there's other people growing into it, you know what I mean? Like, my cousin, he's younger. I think he's in, like, 4th or 5th grade. Obsessed. Yeah, and all his friends, they play that in Fortnite.
Yeah, but could you imagine... Five Nights at Freddy in VR, though?
No.
Freaking animatronics in freaking VR. Like, that's
freaking out.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, because, like, I hate, like, animatronics. Like, that is, like, one of those things that just creeps me out. Like, I can watch other people play Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
So imagine that in VR. Just imagine the experience.
I mean, these things would definitely be cool. Like, I'm down for Iron Man, especially No Man's Sky, because I do love that game.
Yeah,
No Man's Sky would be great. The only thing that's keeping me from it is I hate all the cords that come with VR, you know.
And
if they came with like a cordless, I would buy that day one.
And that's why I say VR is going to play an important role. My prediction. This is it. This is my prediction for next gen. We will see a wireless VR headset on the PlayStation 5.
If that does happen, day one,
and
I'm there.
Yeah, we will see one. And it's going to cost the same amount as a PSVR. It's not going to be like $800. It's going to be the original price of a PSVR. So my prediction for next gen is that. That's why I say it plays a big part, because that is the hassle. That's the hassle for me, for VR. Is one of them is surprising, but again, I know that this is real new tech, in that sense, and it's still getting, you know, it's still getting where it needs to be in terms of mass production. But the other other issue for me is the wiring and connecting and trying to get into a VR game. So I really think that, you know, Sony putting all this effort and time, that PS5 is going to launch with a wireless VR headset.
Please, please, please.
Like, I don't know. I could definitely see Sony, like, if they want to continue focusing on the VR or PlayStation VR, that they will do, like, a wireless headset. But I'm also kind of getting some Microsoft and Kinect flashbacks. How, for the 360, they were all in on the Kinect.
But
for the Xbox
One. But this is different. This is a little different.
But it's also Sony, and they don't have the best
track. They don't. But it. I'm surprised that they actually made a state of play, their first direct, live stream, their first state of play on VR, and the thing where I see where Sony is changing is that VR has been out for quite a while now on the PS4, and they stuck by it, and now we're getting actual games for it. So, like, now we're getting, like, freaking Resident Evil 7 launch. No Man's Sky VR is coming. Iron Man game exclusively for PSVR. Like, now we're getting some real games for it. And they've been there, too. Like, you know, I'm not saying, like, they weren't there at the jump. But now there's some meat to these VR games now. With Blood and Truth, that's also another one, that they have, which I thought looked great. I'm like, okay, like, sign me up, for this. And Concrete Genie, which is their other title that, they announced, that's gonna have a VR mode. So now, you know, they're putting those things where VR was novelty at the launch of VR, but now these are becoming full-fledged games. So, yeah, so VR with Sony, like, that's why it's not like the Kinect in that sense, because Microsoft, for me, the Kinect failed because Microsoft doesn't have the DNA for that, for this type of stuff. They just don't. Just for hardware peripherals, they don't. They don't have the DNA for this stuff. Sony, on the other hand, yes, we've seen Sony definitely drop a lot of accessories, definitely, with the moves. Yeah.
They've dropped
with the moves, but guess what? The moves are now back in the VR's ecosystem. So, yeah. I would agree with you. I would definitely agree with you if I didn't see, like, any progression in terms of, like, the games that we're getting for VR, but I'm starting to see, like, they're putting in work to get those, to get, Beat Saber, they got that game. Like, they're putting in work for their VR, and it's gonna show, like, you know, next gen, when there is really a VR, I guess, war, or when this thing becomes mainstream, because I think next gen is when this VR is really gonna become mainstream and become more, readily available, that Sony's gonna have the infrastructure set up already, where the other parties are, they're gonna be like, what the heck? They're all gonna try to rush into it. And Sony's already gonna have that, and they're gonna have the games to back it up too. So, I think this is a completely different take than, the Kinect. Just based on that.
I don't know, I'm still surprised in a good way that, you know, Sony's still supporting the PlayStation VR, but I'm still right now in a wait and see what they want to do. I mean, they're not going to be at E3 this year, so, I mean, I guess we'll see what they want
to do. They're going to do more State of Plays.
But,
Well,
apparently, like, this one was, like, a test run to see how well it was received, and hopefully people received it well, because it's like, you sure, they focus mostly on VR, and I can understand people being upset about it, and it is the first one, so people weren't exactly sure what they expected. Some of Nintendo's first directs were kind of, they have to find their footing. But it's a great way of, you know, showcasing several games, stuff that's coming out around the corner, you know, third-party stuff. So I really do hope that they continue on with this, because the state of play, Nintendo directs, Live at Xbox? I forget what Microsoft's one. But they're all great ways to kind of showcase stuff that's coming out, and a great way to communicate with the community.
No, I definitely agree, and you know, just again, like you said, people probably weren't expecting this much of VR at their state of play, but the format plays itself so well in actually revealing these sorts of games. And again, I feel like VR is going to be big next gen, and Sony's already going to be there while everybody's going to be playing catch up. So this is, you know, seeing No Man's Sky in VR, seeing that they're making an Iron Man game, that's pretty... That's like, okay, now they're actually, like, putting this thing into practice now. So
I mean, they're definitely putting content behind it, you know?
Yeah, so it's definitely something I've seen differently, how Sony is operating in that sense. Because, again, they usually drop this stuff after a year, but they haven't dropped it since it, you know, since it's been revealed. So yeah, more power to them, because next gen, everybody's going to be playing catch up. So
we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it is kind of a wait and see thing, so.
Yeah. This thing's kind of, usually whenever there's a new gen, like, there's a lot of shift.
For sure.
In public perception / what the company wants to do going forward. Yeah, we'll see.
Yep, and I guess that's it. And we ended off on our high note there with Sony State of Play. And mm-hmm. I think we're going to close the floodgates now. Right?
Missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're closing it off here. Yeah, so definitely check us out on... You see, I'm even forgetting this too. Like, oh my God, the Stadia.
like old times.
Yes, just like old times there. No, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and check out DPR on Spotify and Apple Music, and subscribe, so you could get the latest episodes here. But definitely check us out, and we're closing the floodgates again. We have like 2 double doors now.
Just in case so nothing gets by.
Yes, just in case nothing gets by. But definitely check us out, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Catch you on the flip side.